live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 263. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined as always by my co-host, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
Doing just fine, man. It's good to be back, man. Dude, just like that. Last week, we talked about it, man. We are football season kind of starts tonight.
Yeah, we've got ourselves a little bit of preseason Hall of Fame game between the Jets and the Browns tonight. No Aaron Rodgers. A lot of big names they're going to play. I'll probably see like a first snap. I'll see a couple of snaps and then be like, all right, I'm good enough with it. So, yeah, John, we are back. Shout out to the free ad sponsor for MetroNet presenting the show tonight live and in great speed. Screw the other company that no longer works with us. So, but we do love all of our sponsors: Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Maverick Custom Motorsports, as well. We love them. We do not love the others, but we also love MetroNet. MetroNet, powered by MetroNet, Crossroads Sports Radio Show this evening. So good to have that, John. We're live also on the Facebook Live for Crossroads and my page as well on there. So continue the conversations there. John, a week ago tonight, we had our Crossroads Sports Late Night Edition for live show, and we're talking about the drama, a little drama situation with Jonathan Taylor, just hitting the tip of it. It was just reported. And John, less than 48 hours after that, on Saturday night, Ursay and Taylor met. And next thing you know, it came out that Jonathan Taylor has requested a trade. It's got snippy. It's gotten ugly. John, it is not in a good situation. We all thought initially, we agreed on the last our show, that they were going to work out a contract. I don't know if that's possible now. I think it's so broke. I don't know if it's possible. Your thoughts, what's transpired in this last week since we've last done our show?
Yeah, it's down there out in Coastland, man. It cannot be a whole lot of confidence with Jonathan Taylor and with the back and forth between the owner, Jim Irsay, and, you know, saying not so much out of the front office. The front office is kind of just wants everything to kind of the season to run smoothly, you know what I mean? So we haven't necessarily heard a whole lot out of Ballard. But, yeah, between Jonathan Taylor's representation and Jim Irsay, you know what I'm saying, tweets, and however people want to take them in or out of context, some of the things Jim Irsay are saying is true, but there's some things that, you know what I'm saying, in that particular version of the truth that he's leaving out about Jonathan Taylor in that tweet. So you're right. I don't see how they go very few times, man. This is, Brandon, tell me right or wrong, man. Like when a player says, I retire, unless it's Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying? Usually when they say retirement, they're going to retire. Usually when a player says, I want to be traded, nine times out of nine, they get traded. So,
right.
Or, you know what I'm saying, or get moved. So I expect Jonathan Taylor, I expect everybody in this particular with the coach and Jonathan Taylor to do the right thing, the business thing. And it hasn't been so much here lately, you know what I'm saying, as far as, I mean, Jonathan Taylor's still on the quote-unquote pup list. And, you know what I'm saying, the coach was saying that he was hurt. Then he put out a tweet saying, about the expensiveness of his injury, or quote-unquote, in quotation, injury. So, you're right. It is very snippy, and I don't really see a bridge unless the coach can find a happy number and if, for them and Jonathan Taylor to kind of hang around. I know, you know what I'm saying, everybody kind of said like 10 – I mean, I think somebody's rumored they threw it out to Jonathan Taylor trying to get the same deal that Saquon Barkley got, between $10 and $11 million. And I also heard, like, you know what I'm saying, a different, you know what I'm saying, a media source say that potentially that maybe Jonathan Taylor's number was too high. And now, if Jonathan Taylor, I'm going to tell you right now, Brandon, if Jonathan Taylor's number is like $16 million, that is too high. Per year, that is too high. But something in the neighborhood of like 12, 13, you know what I'm saying, from you know what I'm saying, for on a 3-year deal. And we all know, like I said last show, man, we all know NFL contracts aren't guaranteed. You know what I'm saying? So a 3-year deal for a running back of Jonathan Taylor's ilk, if he's really not, and we're not playing a cat and mouse game with his injury, if he's not injured, man, a 3-year deal for him in the 40s, I wouldn't have a problem with.
Yeah, John, he obviously Taylor was set to make $4 million this year. Jim Irsay, in a report came out today, Jim Irsay is spending $6 million a year for the last 3 years. Actually, no, I'm sorry. He spent $6 million just this summer on saving a whale who was in captivity to get it back freed in the Pacific Ocean. So you're willing to do that for $6 million, but you're not willing to pay your running back, your star running back with a rookie quarterback where you need to step up. I mean, I think Irsay spent more money on those guitars than what Taylor should be making. Should be making something more than four. Yes. Here's my thing, John. JT's breaking point, you know, he showed up to camp pissed off, and the Colts expected a different Jonathan Taylor to show up. They expected one to be ready to go. Hey, let's get him out there. And he came in with this different attitude. Back in March, he put out a tweet that says, I'm here to honor my contract, my 4-year contract. I'm here to lead the team, yada, yada, yada. A week later, he hires a new agent, and he shows up to Colts camp and completely just pissed off with an attitude. The fact that he also is upset about the Colts wanting him to come back sooner to test him, to see how he is, and him wanting to sit out and be like, hey, I'm not ready. I need more rest for a procedure that was done in January that shouldn't take that long, more than a month. And the fact that, you know, he's a little pissed off because, listen, like when we sucked, and like week 5 when he got injured, he could have sat out and had this surgery. They weren't going anywhere last year. They weren't. But they wasted it and dicked around. And maybe that's got some sour grapes there as well for him. But it's just – it's a bad breakup. It's going to happen. There's going to be a trade suitor somewhere. I mean, I can't see him sitting out. I mean, I can see him sitting out the whole season. It happened with the Steelers before they traded the following year to the Jets with Le'Veon Bell. But Jonathan Taylor – I do think he's getting some bad advice as well from that agent.
You think so?
I do. I mean, my guy needs his money.
Right.
I understand, but I also don't agree with it, if that makes sense.
The coach out here is slinging mud too, man, or media leaking things as well. So, because, like, man, they had said, like, it was reported on Pat McAfee's show that Jonathan Taylor was not necessarily a good guy. And, you know, we all know how that can be construed around here in the 317.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? People will be thinking that these athletes are thinking that, you know what I'm saying, they're better than what they're – he's just trying to get a multi-year deal, y'all. You know what I'm saying? And he took it to the – there's when the team don't want to pay, you know. But that's the thing, though, Brandon. Hold on. They haven't told the people in Indianapolis that this is a full rebuild. I wouldn't be surprised.
They're telling Reggie it's championship.
Brandon. Have they paid
Reggie Seif has season tickets for a championship. That's what he's getting sold.
Nah. Have they paid the wide receiver? They ain't paid the wide receiver yet. Where's his extension at?
His will come.
You know what I mean?
And it should come quick, you would think.
You would think. That's what I'm saying. You would have thought, you know what I'm saying, the extension would have come quick, but it hasn't. So
they've got the money. What the hell are they waiting on?
Right.
I mean, right now you've got to pay a wide receiver, or you got to pay a running back right now. You got to either get Kenyon Drake, or you got to go out and get who was the other running back that showed up to camp? Oh, former Steeler Benny Snell. You're going to have to get another running back. There's Zach Moss was the potential number one with Tim. His arm in camp. So now you're down another guy. Here's another thing. Here's some sour grapes for you for Jonathan Taylor, John. Didn't they, with 1 year left on the contract, still go out and pay Nyheim Hines? The year before his contract was due up, they paid him. So why the hell can't they pay Jonathan Taylor?
That part is real peculiar. Is it because all the attention came on Saquon and the Giants were able to get away with it? You know what I'm saying? As far as like the deals, like Saquon, I feel like Saquon broke down too fast. They offered $10 million, and then 36 hours later, he settled for $11 million with a base and a $2 million potential, salary bonus if you hit a certain yardage.
Yep.
So Saquon kind of folded too early. So the talk will continue with Jonathan Taylor. You don't want this to continue until the regular season. And like I said, Brandon, who's going to start? Who's going to be the starting quarterback week one?
Richardson.
If Richardson is the starting quarterback, wouldn't you want to have the best potential running back weapon out there? If Richardson, quote unquote.
But here, John, here's my thing. I like what you mean.
Go ahead.
I know what you mean because I was thinking it myself. But I want to think about Shane Steichen's offense. Think about how many running backs they kept going in and out with there in Philly. Miles Sanders, Bostic, Boston Scott. They went through what, 3-4? There's not a power back that they had in Philly when he was there. He was able to hit some thunder with some lightning, 3-4 guys substitute in and out like crazy, kind of like the Patriots do. That's what Shane Steichen did there. So I have a feeling that's what he's going to do here. And he's like, so what? We don't have Jonathan Taylor. I mean, we like to have him, but, I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all for us. Like, my offensive scheme here has multiple running backs playing.
Right. Okay.
That's my thought. Well, like, they don't need Jonathan Taylor out there to start the season. They have 3 or 4 guys that can go in and out with like they did in Philly.
Well, again, Brandon, I think we're
the offensive line's different, yes, but still.
I was thinking the same thing about Steichen's system and the wideout who they got to play. Does he fit in Steichen's system? You know what I'm saying? That's why I had the same kind of thought process, just not on Jonathan Taylor. I had it on the wideout, man. So and the hesitancy to pay him. Again, the Colts got a lot of money. Why haven't they paid anybody?
Well, they're going to pay him. You can't have Alex Pierce as your number one.
Man, I don't know, Brandon. They haven't.
Nope. They're going to pay him. They're going to pay him here in like 3 weeks. They'll pay him.
Okay.
They're going to pay him. They're going to ship out Taylor, and then they will pay Pittman. That way they try to avoid as many bad optics as they can. In that. And I mean, I think the Colts still have like, 18, 19 million in cap space, which
right. Yeah.
you don't lose it, but you got to, what the hell are you holding it for? You know, it's like, I'm trying to think of the guy. He just saved all his money and shit, you die and you got all that money. You ain't taking it with you, right? Ballard, you might get fired here soon. And guess what? You can't take that money with you.
Right.
So it's like he's scared to spend it, but he's not. You know, he's like, it's more of that emergency, like, oh my God, if X happens, we at least have Y here with that money that we can spend. But the free agent talent pool is drying up. If you think Kenyon Drake is going to be your number one, or a Benny Snell is going to be your number one. I mean, they went out and got what? Amari Rodgers, a tight end that used to be with the Packers. John, I think he played 6 games or he played 8 games last year, 6 fumbles. That ain't going to get it done at the tight end position.
That ain't going to get it done.
That ain't going to get it done for sure. So, I don't know. I think JMV, friend of the program, our buddy JMV said it perfectly. Like, they just can't get out of their own way. Any year, there's always got to be something for this Colts team going into it.
Maybe Peyton Archer cursed him, man. maybe they need a curse left, man. We need a voodoo witch doctor down there.
Yeah, I'm afraid to see what's going to happen the next time. I mean, I went live on Saturday night. I was walking the dog, and I had to go out. I was like, I got to film some video, man. We got the golden hour going on. I had to film and give my takes on the JT situation because it was crazy. Ursay's bus, they brought him on. He was on there for an hour, got off, and It's been hot ever since. Yeah, you got to feel like he's going to be traded here soon. And, you know, even for fantasy perspective, like, where do you draft Jonathan Taylor? Like, do you still draft him in the top 10? I mean, top 10 running back for fantasy, but do you look at drafting him there, or do you hold out? I mean, the people that did Le'Veon Bell, a la me, 1 year, and he didn't even play the whole season. So I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think it's fixable. I really don't in the end. So, yeah, it's just and do you blame in the end when you look back at this 2, 3, 4 years later, is this something else that you just kind of put on Ballard's plate that you just say, ah, you know what, Ballard couldn't get it done? I don't think so, because you got yourself an owner that just pops off on Twitter saying stupid stuff and doesn't make anything easier.
Brandon, I don't think Ballard's going to get fired because I don't think Jim Mercer's going to fire him. I think Ballard does everything. I think Ballard has a plan, and then Jim Mercer says, no, I like my plan better. And then they have to go with Jim Irsay plan. The quarterback, after Andrew Luck retired, they went with another. I mean, he said, go get me a quarterback. Now, some of that was also, you know, saying Frank Reich or whatever. I know his name hasn't necessarily graced our radio waves for quite some time. But, yeah, I know Frank Reich was like, hey, man, bring in Carson Wentz. And, hey, man, bring in, you know, saying Mr. San Diego Chargers himself, Philip Rivers. But. But like, nah, man, the coach should have been done, and I know that's terrible English, the coach should have been done had a different quarterback, you know what I'm saying, fresh legs, you know what I'm saying, I'm saying somebody in the upper rounds, you know what I mean, before they, you know what I'm saying, decided, you know what I'm saying, to pull the trigger on Richardson. You know what I'm saying, again, there's a lot of still a rawness to Richardson. The deep ball is not a problem for him. It's the mid-range game, y'all. Believe it or not, you know what I'm saying, as far as the scouting report's concerned, coming from training camp, does that mean he's not going to start? No, man, he's the guy they pay. They've already paid Anthony Richardson, have they not? On the rookie deal, you know what I mean? Almost as much as that Jonathan Taylor is making. So, but again, man, so I think Brandon Reif is right in his assessment, man. You had asked me this. I think you did. Maybe about a month or two ago, I thought, I'm telling the guy that brought over, you know what I'm saying, the mustache from Philly, man, that always used to kick the coach's ass down when he played for the Jaguars. I thought he was going to start. But, like, no, I think Richardson is going to start, and there probably will be – it might go into the season and when somebody trades for Jonathan Taylor, and he'll end up on who knows, man, you know what I'm saying, in a sunnier situation. Because right now, I can say right now he's not happy. I don't know if another team's going to give him another year, you know what I'm saying, what he could potentially look for. I don't see nobody can go over 3 years, you know what I'm saying. But, you know what I'm saying, the time of tenure with John Taylor and being a coach and the new regime that is, you know what I'm saying, the quarterback that, you know what I'm saying, we all believe can be dynamic, and we are here right now. This is where we're at.
John, I keep looking at things for Anthony Richardson, and I don't know if he's here past, I don't know if he's the starting quarterback going into year three or year four. I really don't. They talk about build, rebuild. I've got the Colts, I think, with seven wins this year. What you say and what you do are two different things. The Colts are saying that, hey, we're here to build and all this, yada, yada, yada. But when L's mount up, fan base is struggling. Richardson's 3 or 4 interceptions, a fumble, dumb plays. I mean, you can't be as dumb as what Carson Wentz and you know, Matt Ryan's had in those times. But the NFL's a different game. And this guy's learning curve is going to be a little bit more limited. Yeah, and a lot of local media, I'll call them out, a lot of local media here on the news think that Anthony Richardson is going to be the next NFL MVP based on the highlights they're showing. You realize there's no defense when he's throwing there. You realize he's untouchable. You realize they're not going full speed at him, right? I hope people realize that. And I just don't know from what I've seen and what I've read, I do not have the greatest faith in him. was he was the pick that they made, and you know what? With what you got, that's the best that you could do. I don't fault the Colts for that. I just don't know if this guy has what it is to be a career franchise quarterback in Indianapolis. I hope he does, but I just don't know to live up to the hype for this city and this fan base of what they expect and what they want and what that owner wants. I don't know if it's possible.
There'll be, Brandon, you said 6 wins? Brandon.
I said 6.
That's real gracious.
I thought I was going to get crucified for saying it.
It's real gracious, man, especially when the star running back is on the you know what I'm saying, the verge of leading the team, man. I think things can become a whole lot harder winning if they do trade Anthony, obviously, Jonathan Taylor, and it might be 3 wins.
I think they can at least sneak out some of those wins in that AFC South, at least. You still got a Tannehill running that program down there in Tennessee, and Jacksonville's gotten better. Houston's got a new quarterback. I'm not even content with Stroud in there. You know, I told you what I tell you before the draft. I'd rather have next year's draft class than the draft class they just had for quarterbacks.
Right.
And that's how I still feel to this day. But you got Richardson on a rookie deal. You give it a shot. I just don't really see. And I listen to some of the I listen to some of those Colts fans on the TV and then on Twitter and on Facebook talking about Rich 15 AR 15 this and that. He's throwing bombs already. Let's relax. We're what, 6-7 training camp practices in? Let's hold off a little bit. I mean, you're going to get a good test week one when you go to play Jacksonville again. They stomped the mud and you walked you dry twice last year. Actually, I think they've done it every year for the last how many times, at least once.
Yep.
We'll see. The homie Justin Fox said, John, now would have been the time to pay Taylor, considering – they have the QB on the rookie deal. They could have made it heavy incentives, but old man Ursay does it again. And will the Colts take a QB if they land the first pick next year? Justin, I'm glad you said that because you know what? And I do. I told John I would remember, John, one of the episodes is probably what? We're 263. This is probably 257, 256. I said if I was the Colts, I would suck one more year with Gardner Minshew or somebody in there and go out and get yourself. I would rather have a Caleb Williams than an Anthony Richardson. I would rather have that. Call me crazy.
Something a little bit more proven, something you've seen.
Absolutely.
There's a lot more tape on him. We've known what he did at Oklahoma. We know what he, you know what I'm saying, potentially gonna do. What he did last year at USC and what potentially gonna do this year.
Yep.
At USC once on their way out of the Pac-10 once we get to that conversation. But
doesn't mean that, I can even see the Colts still get him. I can still see the Colts drafting him because it's not outside of the Colts' realm to have a rookie quarterback and then the next year get yourself another rookie quarterback. I think Ballard's not dumb enough, but I think Ballard's crazy enough to do it. And I think Ursay's good enough to accept it.
Well, Brandon, if the team is floating in the 2-3 win category, then that's definitely what they're going to have their choice of a top pick. So. It could very well happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at quarterbacks, John, Caleb Williams, Drake May.
Well, Harrison Jr. is going to be top three too. You got to understand that Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be top three or four.
Yep. Bo Nix, Michael Penix, your boy Michael Penix down over in Washington.
Man, he would not be in the top anything for Indiana.
Uh-huh. Quinn Ewers, you know what? They'd be dumb enough. You know who I think they would match up. Anthony Richardson 2.0, and it would be next year. I think that's Jaden Daniels next year. I think he is Anthony Richardson 2.0. Maybe a little bit better. I think he might be even better than Richardson. I really do. That's probably not fair to him. But KJ Jefferson, JJ McCarthy, I like this class better. I like all 10 of these quarterbacks better than this past year's class.
So was it a reach at 4 for Richardson?
I don't think it was a reach. I think they were nervous and they just took what they thought was a safe bet. And they're trying to make What's a lemonade
said,
out of lemonade out of shit?
Well,
I mean,
right, sugar out of shit, yeah, shit out of shit.
Yeah, right.
But like, nah, man. Well, they was, I guess during that draft time, a lot of hype kind of comes around because remember they was also they had the potential the Colts picking Will Levis. No, Texas was going to pick Will Levis, but that didn't happen. But Will Levis is probably going to be the second stringer. That's what I'm hearing out of Tennessee. But you know.
Do you like Jordan Travis at Florida State?
To be a pro quarterback?
Yeah. I saw you talking a little Florida State this past weekend or on Twitter this week.
Well, I don't want to, like, we're talking pro football, man. I don't want, and I know college football is a version of pro football, man, but, and I don't know if that my Florida State conversation has kind of floated around. Like what's kind of going to happen with realignment. And Brandon, believe it or not, realignment doesn't, like 2 years ago when we first started talking about it, it used to like flip me out, freak me out. But right now, man, as soon as I hear about school talking about they leaving, I think about their chances, about where they're talking about going. I know, first of all, I think about what they're complaining about. What are you complaining about? You complain about SEC making all this money and these schools are supposed to get, they're supposed to get, nobody knows yet, Brandon. They're supposed to get, but I don't want, when we go into that about realigning the college football, man, dude, you talking about go off. Brandon, I'm going to go off. I promise you. But I know we got the homie Justin Fox calling in from Epic to talk about the fight, to kind of recap some of the fight, man. And I think I keep calling in at 7:30, I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be calling in. I know he's watching the show now, so we'll be getting him.
Yeah, man.
Now, while we're waiting on him, are you scared of Seminole Nation? Because you kind of tiptoed with that answer with Florida State. Are you? You got Seminole Nation coming at you on
Seminole
Twitter.
Seminole Nation is talking to like, well, we get top TV ratings, but we have a revenue share with the ACC that's like we only get a $30 million check. We're better than Boston College. We're better than Wake Forest as far as TV ratings are concerned. But like, here's the thing though, Florida State, you ain't better than Clemson.
Oh boy.
You ain't better than anybody.
But they're on the up and up.
Who is? They ain't better than Notre Dame. Stop it.
No, I said they're on the up and up.
Okay. Hold on, man. That is not Bobby. You know, and nothing that is like what they did in the '90s. You know what I'm saying? Their last championship was what, 2013? Was it they had a
John,
last championship with
some credit, my man. Florida State went 10-3 last year. Come on now. They went 10-3 under Norwell. They had a great season.
You still was talking about, and Brandon, I'll pull the tape, and you still was talking about Deion was going there after he gets this other guy. Yeah, and you still talking about Deion's going there. That dude, listen, man, Florida State, we're going to cut this up, man. I don't know if he's on the line yet. But listen, man, Florida State, I get that saying they want a little bit more piece of the revenue share, but Brandon, we've heard this story before. Texas said the same thing when they were with the part of the Big 12. That's
John, they're the second
the
best team in the ACC. They will finish second in the ACC this year. Florida State will. Mark my words. Cut that up. Post it. Save it.
So you're saying Clemson's going back to being top dogs in the ACC?
Clemson, then Florida State. It'll be that order.
Okay. They're talking about they're going to break away and they're going to be part of, you know what I'm saying, hey.
John, they only lost three offensive guys and two defensive guys. Florida State's back, man.
Yeah,
they are back.
Yeah, I don't know. Right. I don't know why the Big Ten wouldn't want a Florida State if they are still talking about expanding, because they don't really – the Big Ten doesn't have a stranglehold in the South at all.
Yeah, they got crab legs, though, man. These steel crab legs down there, that's against the Big Ten rules.
No, ain't got nothing. Oh, stop it. With Northwestern? Stop it. And that scandal? Penn State?
Allegedly. Allegedly. You know who my team was in the trash last year? I thought they were going to be really good, and they went to the trash can. Because we know back in the day, I used to have my pedestal and my trash can teams, and it would change week to week. I ain't falling for the bait this year. Hurricane Nation? I ain't falling for that bait this year. Not a chance. I was on you last year. You doomed me the whole season. This year, Florida State. This year it's Florida
Brandon,
State.
Brandon, you building the conference. You want Miami? That's a 30. I mean, are they got $100 million?
Depends who else is in that conference. If I need some names.
Think about this, Brandon. I'm Duke. Yeah, you want Duke to come to SEC football? Yeah,
no.
But $100 million?
No.
$100 million, yeah. But the basketball team, the basketball team's worth twice, man, please.
I would rather take Miami over North Carolina. I'm saying that very cautiously.
No, Brandon, hold on. What I'm saying, Brandon, when these schools go over, all the sports go over.
Yeah.
So
mostly, yes.
If the SEC ever gets Duke or Clemson, I get it. Clemson basketball is not going to drive nobody crazy. But if the SEC ever gets Duke, and for $100 million, they got over because Duke and North Carolina are worth more than $100 million. Basketball
okay.
is worth more than $100 million. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. All right. Let's bring our homie on, friend of the program from the Epic Podcast, Justin Fox. Justin, welcome back to the show, my guy. And how are you this evening?
What's going on, fellas? Doing good, man. Doing good. How y'all doing?
We're good. I liked your insight on this. I'd like to see your Jonathan Taylor talk. And I know Jonathan's big on getting this boxing thing in, which I'm excited to hear about because I've had a hell of a weekend, so I didn't get to catch up on any of it. But I'm interested with you being a local guy here and this being one of the top national stories. What's your take on this Jonathan Taylor Colt situation?
Man, I think it's sad, man, because everything you hear about Jonathan Taylor – is like he's a good dude, like a good teammate. You know, he does the right things. And for whatever reason, it's that time now in the NFL where everybody thinks you can just plug in anybody in your backfield and you're going to find success. So I hate it for him. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I think I heard a rumor like he was asking for like $18 million a year or something. He's not going to get that like anywhere.
Right.
But
right.
The coach could have paid him well, and kind of like what I said in the message, make it heavy in incentives. You know what I mean? Give him some escalators, some different things that maybe would have sweetened the pot. But, I mean, you can't tell me 4-year deal for him at, you know, $12, $13 was going to kill the team. And honestly, with Richardson, I actually kind of lean with what you were saying, Brandon, on him. I'm not 100% sure he's going to be your guy. And I think not having that running back like Taylor in the backfield is definitely going to make his job that much harder. So,
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, hey man, we brought Justin Fox on from the Epic Podcast. Man, he is the only boxing source in the city of Indianapolis that I trust. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Because I know he's in the trenches with it, man. So this past weekend, man, and depending on rivers, we did have Justin on about 2 months ago or so. And I know everybody's going, you know what I'm saying, they got geeked up about it because, you know what I'm saying, these North Division rivals between him and Brandon Reese. And we'll get into that a little bit later. But like, no, man, I know Justin watched the Spencer fight from this weekend and Spencer Crawford fight. But please, man, give us your analysis and, like, how you saw the fight. Obviously, you know what I'm saying, we know, you know what I mean, who won. I don't think that was in any doubt. But like, how did you see the fight? And will there be another fight between these two?
So I'll say this: watching the fight, honestly, Spence just looked outmatched, man, from the beginning of the fight. I don't think anybody expected it. And what I saw was Spence is not a guy who can get in the ring and make adjustments. I don't know if that's a Derrick James, his trainer situation. Actually, I can't blame him because even during the fight, literally, I think from round 2 on until they stopped it in round 9,
right.
He was telling Bud, stop standing in front, telling Spence to stop standing in front of him. He had to do a better job of using his angles, and Spence could not. He just, I don't know if he was dead. Like I've heard guys like Floyd and some of them say like he literally looked physically drained to them. And that played a part or whatever. I'm not here to say one way or the other, but I will say he got a real good clinic in this fight,
mm-hmm.
and he'll have to go back to the drawing board, man. I'm hearing everything I'm hearing, there's going to be a rematch, but it's going to be at 154. Because essentially what it sounded like is Spence can't make 147 anymore. It pretty much broke him. And I don't know if you guys saw any of the weigh-in, but literally Spence weighed in right at 147. his weight was 147. So, yeah, it's going to be a rematch,
The reason I asked is because I heard it's going to be this year too.
So.
Oh wow, that's a quick turnaround. Yeah. I didn't think that was a turnaround because like the reason why I think the more and more I got into it, I tried to get back into boxing. I think they're still on the old program. They're beholden to the 22-0 or whatever the one loss record is, and nobody wants to have a whole two losses in this era. But like it's bugged, man, because UFC, you can have two or three. It doesn't matter if you that dude and people want to and see you because of the hype and the booking. Like they get it. So I think not saying that, you know what I'm saying, trying to fix it or whatever like that. I think nine rounds. How many was scheduled out of this? I think it was like 12.
12. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. 12. Like they had a lot of hype around this fight, man. And I get it. It didn't necessarily go the distance, but like there's a lot of fights in the past, even with some of the people that we prop up, they wasn't necessarily always their best fight. You know what I mean? The later years of Sugar Ray Leonard, you know what I'm saying? Him, you know what I'm saying, just holding on and fighting guys, you know what I'm saying, guys that he knows, like he was past his prime, but he knows these guys shouldn't never been in the ring with him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I thought it was a lot of hype. And I'm saying, like, genuine hype. I get it, like, my man kind of ran out of gas or got out, you know what I'm saying, got out of clinic, but, like, I think this. I mean, I'm glad that you said that, but I think this fight is. I mean, these two fights is another run back for sure, because like people are into it.
Yeah, yeah. I think they got to capitalize on the momentum, kind of like with what you said. Every like guys that I know, they talk about it. They say the reason why more eyes got put on the UFC is because boxing wasn't making the big fights. UFC, Dana White, right. Those guys like the best fight the best. I don't care your record. I don't care. Like you're gonna fight who we say you're gonna fight. Boxing, the promotional companies get way too involved. You know what I mean? Like if they don't want a chance their champ, you know, taking a loss, they'll avoid the other guy. You know, until it essentially becomes their mandatory, and that that has hurt boxing for years. But I'll say this about it: I think if they do rematch it, because I heard it'll be it's going to be at the end of the year. Everybody's saying that Spence is going to activate the rematch clause, and it's going to be at 154, which Bud said he was fine with anyway, because if he has to rematch Spence, he wants Charlo after that. If he doesn't rematch Spence, he wants Charlo next. So, and Charlo's in that 154 anyway. So I think I'm with you. I think it's still going to be a lot of buzz. I know people kind of think that.
Is the Charlo fight one that he can win?
Yes.
Or that he thinks he can win?
Yeah, Bud's confident about it. And I'll say this, watching him, one thing I did not realize, even, and this wasn't even my first time, or you know, watching Bud. Like, I've been a fan of Bud. But I don't think I realized it because of what I thought Spence was, how deadly Bud's jab is. He beat Spence by jabbing him. Like, I mean, he literally dominated him by jabbing him, man. Like, he stunned him with a jab. Like, you don't see that often. He stunned him with a jab, man. So, like, I think he would be just fine at 154 as well. I think that's I'll be honest, that may be a more entertaining fight than what you'll see with Spence, because Spence is so limited in his style. So you don't get as much out of Spence, because Spence is – he's more of that brawler, that old school. I'm going to get in there. I'm just going to knuckle up with you.
Right.
He doesn't have a whole lot of speed. You know, he just looked real slow in this last fight. So, unfortunately, we'll see what 154 looks like. I think he'll be stronger because I think he'll be able to get the 154 a lot easier. But we'll see. Mm-hmm. We'll see what that looks like.
Okay, man. Okay. Like I said, man, I don't trust nobody else's boxing opinion.
Nah.
You know, educated boxing opinion in this city. You know what I'm saying? Other than Justin Fox from Epic Podcast, man. And it's always a pleasure to have
you
on, man. It's always a pleasure to have you on, man. Before we let you, I don't know if Brandon had another boxing question or not. Did you?
I do. So this weekend, I guess, you know, based on social media, everybody's one of the social media phenomenons. Jake Paul, Nate Diaz, is this one going to be worth watching? I know what happened in the last one, but is this one, should I stay up late to watch this one, or we should just pass it and hit the bed?
In my opinion, I think if you're up, sure. You know, those are two guys who talk a lot. You know what I mean? And Nate Diaz, no, don't get me wrong, he's a tough dude. You know what I mean? I always say there's a difference when it comes to somebody who has trained to box and somebody who just has boxing as part of their rep in terms of his MMA career. So I think it's gonna be, I think it'll be entertaining. I do, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Diaz probably get knocked out. So.
Yeah, Jake's a heavy favorite. I'm looking at the odds right now at -390. So that's a
I'm not surprised by that. Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. I wouldn't be surprised if Jake ends up knocking him out.
Okay. Yeah, man. That's the thing. I was telling somebody at work the other day. I said I would love to get into boxing a lot more. The fact that, and we talked about this last time, A, with the amount of titles that they have is wild enough, but B is you don't have the mainstay media big names that they used to have, and that's not the fighter's fault. I think that's more about there's more sport options out there and media and TV options out there for everybody to consume. But also the fact that where was I going with it? Damn it, I just lost my train of thought with it.
Well, all this stuff is mostly pay-per-view. You know what I mean?
Right.
Where UFC has a regular TV show that you can kind of watch, or you can watch, you know what I'm saying?
Well, they take so long to fight in between. Do you see the guy fight? You watch you don't see them enough. You have to wait another 9-10 months or so before a fight possibly for a guy. And it's like, it's hard to get behind somebody when you only see him maybe once a year, twice, if you're lucky.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That Brandon, that's actually an excellent point, because that's another thing I think, and again, I'm not making any excuses, but I want to say it's probably been about 15 or 18 months, if I'm not mistaken, since the last time Spence fought. That's a heavy layoff, and then to come back and fight what people were arguing who was the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world anyway. Like you said, boxing, the problem is they do a terrible job marketing their fighters and getting them in front of people, and I get it. Boxing's tough on their body. But I would like to see it personally. I mean, most of these guys, I would like to
see
them.
It's not as tough as UFC. UFC, those guys will fight every 4 or 5 months. But what? And that, I think that's more physical than boxing.
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I said I think boxers, it'd be nice to get them fighting three times a year would be good. You know, three times
right.
a year. I get it. Maybe if it's a bigger type fight, maybe twice. But three times a year would be a good amount to see them. But because of, like you said, sometimes there's layoffs, they fight once a year. Some of these guys ain't fought in, you know, like I said, 15, 18 months. People are not going to continue to follow the sport when you don't have, like you said, the name.
Right.
Boxing doesn't have the names right. It used to have. You don't have the Tysons and those guys carrying the sport. Even Floyd. Floyd did such a good job marketing himself. That's why boxing did so well and he sold so well, because he was a great marketer. You don't have that. So it's boxing's in a tough spot, but I think you have some opportunity there. There's been even the undercard or the co-main event for the Spence fight was a lightweight named Esau Cruz. He fought Tank and lost to him, but it was a good fight. I think he's top five for sure in lightweight division now. Like, you have some guys I think where you can make some interesting fights. It's just about getting them done. At this stage, they just got to get these fights done.
Yeah, Brandon. Next time, not to put Brandon on the spot, Brandon, we got to find out like what the gambling is around, like how it is, like, you know, the sports gambling. Like, I thought at one point in this world, boxing was like the go to as far as sports gambling. Now, you know, we sports gamble, like, you know, let Northwestern tell you they're sports gambling on anything, including themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, like, nah, man, that might be something that they, you know, like, but, like, I think people are still, they got that thing in their mind, is this a fixed fight? If, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that's why they're not betting as they should, man. But like, no, man, it's good talking boxing. You know what I mean? Hopefully the IBF and all the other boxing, you know what I'm saying, association get their act together, man. I didn't want to keep you on too long.
Hold on, I got a question for him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had a football.
I got a question. Yeah. So do I. Are you?
Oh, okay.
How nervous are you the fact that J.K. Dobbins is going to hold out now as well?
Not nervous at all. Are you that the Steeler fans are getting excited about George Pickens making one-handed catches in practice?
That's just like waking up and pissing excellence every day, man. That's what that is, that organization.
Now, Brandon, in all seriousness, though, that's actually the one thing I'm not too worried about. I actually said last year, I said, you could tell J.K. wasn't happy. I don't see him being in Baltimore long term because he wants to be that man. He wants to be that guy, and I don't think Baltimore will ever go to a system where they're not sharing a backfield. You know what I mean? So that's
are they
going to
be okay without their offensive coordinator? They went to a different guy now.
They needed to fire Romans 2 years ago.
Oh.
So – yeah, they needed to fire Roman. Romans has no creativity. Let me say it this way: no creativity in the passing game. He designs all kind of runs, which is great. But Baltimore's problem has always been, and even Lamar's problem, and he has to be better with pushing the ball down the field. So you're right.
He's going to have to push it down the field because he sure as hell can't throw it.
Wow!
What?
Have some respect on a former MVP. On a former MVP and NFL touchdown.
I wasn't talking about Caleb Huntley.
No. You were talking about the Lamar Jackson. Don't forget.
You know what you need to do?
You might need to make sure that you guys can maybe stay healthy because your defense looks pretty boo-boo without T.J. Watt. So we're good, man.
There's no drama this offseason. We're good. Mike says the standard is the standard, and it is what it is. But, hey, why talk about a guy that's been holding out for a contract when you have the Pro Bowler, Caleb Huntley? He can lead that team.
Oh, my gosh. Get out of here. You're talking about the Tyler Huntley that made the bonehead play that lost us the playoff game against Cincinnati?
So I looked at your win-loss record for this year, and the over-under is 10.5. So I'll respect that. I think you'll be right there. But I think even a –
you said we're going to win that division.
I think an old fat Ben Roethlisberger could get out of bed right now and put 11 wins on that team.
Look, we'll have this conversation as we are, again, sitting at the top of the AFC North. As you guys are complaining about your offensive line once again and your inability to run the ball effectively and consistently. And we'll do what we do. You know, we'll win the division and – you know, you want to early. You want me to say it now? I'll say it now. We're looking at a Super Bowl berth.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I said it.
Wait a minute,
I said it.
John. I want you to cue this and cut it so we can keep this. Justin, can you say it one more time for me?
I'm looking for the Ravens at a conference championship and then getting and winning the Super Bowl this year. You know what you're gonna be asking. What? Patrick who? Lamar wins his second MVP.
Yeah, Patrick Peterson when he's picking off Lamar Jackson 3-4 times.
Look, don't worry. David Ojabo and Owe, they're going to have a field day against Pittsburgh, so we're not worried about you guys.
October 8th.
October 8th.
I can't wait.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be – because we get Cincinnati, I think, week 4. So I got another guy who's a Cincinnati fan.
You get the Browns.
I'm looking forward to that as well.
We're not worried about. You play the Bengals week 2.
Week 2, okay. Week 2. I knew it was early this year. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, dominating this division again. We just got to keep Lamar healthy. That's it.
Well, that ain't
– yeah.
I was always told, shit in one hand, pray in another, see which one fills up first.
Oh, man.
Oh, shoot.
Justin Fox, epic.
Love
it. And the Foxhole.
Yeah, and the Foxhole.
I love it. Yep, I love it. I love it, man. Look, Brandon, I hope for your sake, Pittsburgh better make a playoff berth this year. Otherwise, you know what I'll do? Because I know how tough this is going to be for you this year. I'm going to invite you over to come watch a real team play.
Whoa.
Or maybe we can meet up somewhere and watch a real team play. That way you can understand what a winner looks like, you know, this season.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
We'll see. I can't wait. Get this going. We got the season started. I can't wait.
I love it.
Hey, what did you guys talk about, real quick, what did you guys talk about on your last show? I didn't get to catch it, but if anybody wants to catch the Epic Podcast, what was your guys' last topics?
We haven't came back from our break yet, so we're loading up some stuff to get.
Okay.
Nope. We took a nice long break over the summer, give everybody a breather. Now that training camp's back and stuff, we're about to get kickstarted. So I'm sure that first episode back is going to be a lot of football as we're getting back into the season. I think the Hall of Fame game is tonight as well. So you know we'll start kicking it back into gear and starting with NFL stuff.
Beautiful. Can't wait. I'll be listening. I'm sure I'll have to be chiming in because some of those Ravens takes. And somebody's a Browns fan, right? Did I get that right? Or a Bengals? Somebody's a Bengals fan?
Yep. So we got a Bengals fan. We got a 49ers fan. And we got a Colts fan. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And the 49ers fan, let's just say he's very confident in what his team is going to be. I actually told him already. I said they might need to have a little bit more concern in San Fran, because I'll be honest, Seattle might be a sleeper pick to win that division this year.
Yeah. Thanks. They need to get a quarterback too. If they honestly think, I want you to ask him next time you guys do your show, if he honestly thinks that they could have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles with a healthy Brock Purdy.
He thinks they would have won. The way I get with his conversations, He doesn't think the quarterback really matters. He thinks as long as they have somebody back there, they can find the success that they need.
Well, Matt Ryan's available if they want to, and that shows
Carson
that they can.
Too.
It doesn't matter who the quarterback is, apparently. Well, there they go.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, Justin, thank you again for joining us, my man. And as always, we'll get you back on. And of course, football season started, so definitely a lot more banter to go.
Yeah, hey, Jonathan, Brandon, thank you guys so much, man. Appreciate it as always. Love what you're doing, so keep it up, because I know you guys are going to be covering a lot more college football, so I'm really looking forward to some of your takes on that, because there's been a lot of talk. I didn't catch all of the episode, but I believe you guys were talking about, like, the Colorado and the movement with them and stuff like that. So, hey, I'm looking forward to you guys' show with that stuff, because I don't get to follow college football quite as much. So, hey, you guys keep doing what you do. It's great.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Justin. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Take care.
All right. That's just Justin Fox, the Epic Podcast, the Foxhole. John, I don't know. We and him are going to make it to the season.
Called you out, Brandon.
And I called him right back. I called him right back, as always.
When you were talking cash shit, man. But you Pittsburgh Ravens fans, man, it's going to get explosive as the season progresses. I can't wait.
Once the season starts, I will not call them by their official name. They'll be the scumbags to me for the season. They're always the scumbags. Hey, John, I want to switch gears. Probably a shorter show tonight because there was just NFL. And I want to talk college football real quick, speaking of Justin talking to us about college football. It was reported today that now the Big Ten is just trying to figure out financials at this point on Oregon and Washington. Brett McMurphy says, there's no more research or information needed on Oregon and Washington, the Big Ten sources said. We have everything we need. It's now just figuring out financials at this point to bring those two in as expansion teams. That was as of three hours ago.
Yeah. So, like, man, this thing's a go, man. So the Oregon coach a couple of days ago was talking cash shit about Colorado leaving to the Pac-12. I get it, Oregon, and it's Nike, you know what I'm saying, deep pockets, but, like, everybody got Nike deep pockets if you come to the Big Ten. So changes are happening. Whatever they had promised UCLA and USC, you're talking about not having a big, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be Big 14 at some point, right?
Already the 14.
Yeah. So there's going to be a West Coast version of the Big Ten. Logistically, I'm telling you right now, Brandon, as I thought to think about it, like, and we joked about it all last year, the UCLA-Rutgers game, it might happen next year, but I don't think it happens in 2026. I don't think, like, as they progress. They're not, like, well, for football, football. We're talking about a one-week thing. Boom, West Coast, yeah, Rutgers goes to the East Coast, whatever. That's a one-time thing. Basketball, how many games they're going to have? You're going to have two games per week on both coasts? Nah, man. So, logistically, and from a money-making standpoint, and all your other sports, including baseball, because baseball for the pack, for some of these packs, for UCLA anyway, is a moneymaker. Right? It is. So, okay, you gave up your – so, like, you're coming over here to make this $90 million, but, like, how much is this going to peanut butter out? Let's remember that. You see what I'm saying? Oregon coming over. I don't know, man. I don't know what the F happened, Brandon, with the Pac-12 commission or their leadership. I told you I was going to snap.
Apple
because
TV?
Because they got down app, but it's all subscription-based. So if you can get the subscribers to watch the Pac-12, and it might be that coming in the 5 years down the line, what do you have today that people can plug in, meaning today, meaning tomorrow, people can plug in, I'm watching Pac-12 back football. No, they don't have nothing. Because, like, yep. You know, everybody streaming, that's just another $99.99. So unless it's going to be free or built in with some type of Hulu, Disney Plus, I don't know. But they got to deal with Apple. They got to deal with Apple. You cannot, this commissioner cannot go from sugar to shit. I know that's another, like, you went from trying to recruit Texas to Oklahoma. You went from trying to recruit Texas to Oklahoma to losing UCLA and USC. And then you lost. And then you lost Colorado. You didn't try to get, like, at some point you're gonna have to, like San Diego State couldn't save the Pac-12. Like, the brand will still be there, Brandon, but there's gonna be probably like a merger with the Pac-12 and the Mountain West teams where they probably become whatever the Pac is left to be. Now, will they get a seat at the table when it comes time to when they say, hey, these four teams are gonna represent whatever power conferences? I don't know. That's gonna be interesting. You know what I'm saying? The Pac-12 is probably going to be mid-major, whatever. You know what I mean?
Right.
But all these teams coming over, Brandon, I put a red flag on some of it, man. So you mean to tell me Texas – not Texas. You mean to tell me, like, some of these other schools – I won't say specific schools. That's right. So they're joining the super conference. They're cool with, you know what I'm saying, these other lesser schools. They're bigger brand. Some of these schools are a bigger brand. I came over here because I'm a bigger brand. They don't deserve that. I jokingly on Three Foolish Men, on that Twitter, man, like, Northwestern doesn't deserve no $90 million football program.
Oh.
They don't.
Oh.
If UCLA got $90 million to come over, USC got $90 million to come over, Northwestern gets $90 million, Illinois?
Everybody gets a little bit, John.
IU getting 90 stop it. You got to play, man. Now, IU basketball, I get it. But, like I said, I think IU basketball is worth more than $90 million.
Man.
I do. Purdue is too, man. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. So, the Big 12, when the Big 12 picked up Colorado and subsequently when they picked up Cincinnati last year, like, they've made themselves comfortable to be a player in this whole big super conference thing. Arizona, those dominoes are going to fall. Arizona and Utah, right? They should probably just join, say that, because they still are strong, powerful basketball schools. You know what I mean? So, like, if they join the Big 12, yeah, they're helping the Big 12. They are.
Yeah,
In March. I get it. In March. But, you know, but it's probably what's going to happen. I don't foresee, you know, saying Arizona coming to the Big Ten. I definitely don't foresee Arizona going to the SEC. There's a lot of people talking about, you know my stance on Notre Dame. Notre Dame will always be like, they'll have a deal with you, but they're not going to join you fully. That's not how they operate. That's not how they operate their money. Put people in their seats and grab their program. So,
right.
Brandon, I got a lot of information. If Clemson could leave right now, they would. Guess what? They can't. You know, there's a Florida State. You know, there's a $300 million San Diego State, I'm going back and forth. San Diego State has to pay $30 million to leave the Mountain West Conference to join the Pac,
yep.
whatever. That's why it didn't happen. The Pac-12 said, "Hey, man, we ain't got no money for you. Like we couldn't shoulder that burden for you because we ain't got damn TV contract our damn self."
Right.
So if Florida State, dude, the SEC schools are kind of locked into that contract till like 2031. And it's kind of like ironclad. Unless you want to break the contract, then Florida State, you'll be up to grass. But, like, ain't nobody coming to save them for $300 million. Florida State, Bobby Bowden ain't there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and Deion ain't there. So, $300 million, you're going to have to figure it out, Florida State, on your own.
Okay.
But, yeah, times are changing, and the map is moving.
College football is coming up, John. We're going to have our college football preview show coming up here in a couple of weeks. We're going to break down the Power Five conferences, our thoughts on where we expect. So we'll start doing some research. I've already had my book, and I'll show it to you on the Facebook
Michigan
Live. I've
Michigan
got my Phil
Notre
Steele.
Dame.
Stop it. Not with him.
Already.
I've got my book ready, so I'm ready to roll. We've got the Hall of Fame game just now getting ready to start. I'll watch a few snaps of that. And then we have Pick'em this year. Me, you, and Tanner once again. Pick'em. College football season starts August 26th. August 26th. That's 3 weeks away, and college football has begun. I can't wait. I don't have anything else really on my list tonight, John. I think it was just kind of getting us back in the saddle. We had a lot of Colts talk, a lot of drama with that, and talking college football and having Justin Fox join us tonight. We're going to have another Thursday show next week. I've got a schedule conflict on Wednesday, so looking like a Thursday show next week. And obviously if anything else pops off breaking news wise or anything, me and John will do our own videos or we'll go live on something, to give a little bit of a quick take. But, yeah, you always join the conversations on Facebook Live on Facebook, on Twitter. We're always on there. So, we're taking more, and, you know, Seminole Nation, I'll come for you if you go at my boy Jonathan. it's like I had Colts Nation go after me on a few things earlier, a couple weeks ago. I forget what it was. But, yeah, in the end, we'll see what happens there with all that craziness. John, anything else before we go? We'll let you kind of give your
little... We hit the summer sports, man. Oh man, the Cubs, Brandon. If we don't mention the Cubs, we get in trouble. The Cubs batted around on them, man. But as the NBA, you know, I know a lot of folks kind of chime into the show and want to listen to, like, you kind of hear us kind of talk about NBA is kind of on vacation right now. So, like, don't be looking for no Dame Lillard trade. I know there's a lot of trade packages out there that got Tyler Hero going to a third team and Miami sending, like, a three or four number ones to Portland. And right now, man, that's just not enough. And, like, nobody really wants to hear that right now. Uh-huh. Not right now. There's no movement on James Harden. I think everybody's just kind of just waiting for the season. I mean, like, the preseason start, the training camp start back in early September. You got FIBA basketball, I think that starts August 25th. It actually goes into September. I think if they get to the gold medal championship game.
By the way, I don't even think the women's soccer team is going to win. They don't look. They were so excited to have a draw. What the hell?
They struggling. Kind of like, this ain't, well, you got to understand, man, Hope Solo ain't walking through that door. Right? When she does, man, you know what I'm saying? Good luck. What's she going to show you? But, like, no, man, this ain't necessarily the same team from years past, man. And those, there is some carryover with some of the names on that from the, you know what I'm saying, last World Cup team. A lot of those people are kind of locked long in the tooth, man. So I think they make it to the medal round, though, man. But, like, yeah, we are in the summer months right now, man. The Reds are fighting. The Cubs are fighting, man. Like I said, NBA is on a little bit of hiatus, man. But like Brandon said, man, tune in. We still share information on Twitter, either at Crossroads Sports on Twitter, Threads as well, Three Foolish Men on Twitter as well, or on Instagram and Facebook as well, Crossroads Sports as well, man. Like I said, short show tonight, man. We got a lot of information in a short amount of time, man. I hope everybody felt entertained and educated at the same time, man. Until next week, man. That's Brandon Reaper. I've been Jonathan Burson. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.